their fellow redeemed. Tell me, have you ever thought about how your life has been impacted by wars that were fought long before you were born? You realize how different your life might be if just one or two military conflicts in history had gone the other way? For example, if in 732 AD the Moorish army had not been turned back at the Battle of Tours, historians tell us that the prominent religion in Europe would not have been Christianity. It would have been Islam. Instead of Gothic cathedrals, there would be mosques. There probably wouldn't have been a Lutheran Reformation. Or in 1863, in the Battle of Gettysburg, if the Confederate Army would have overcome the Union Army, would our nation still be the home of the free? Or would slavery be the law of the land? Or how about the invasion of Normandy? Turning point in World War II. If Hitler's army had overcome, would we all be Sprechen Sie Deutsch today? Sometimes just one or two key battles in history can affect millions of people for centuries. Even if the people don't know anything about the battles, don't know when or where they took place, they're oblivious to those battles, still, they can have an impact on how people live and think today. Well, if that's true of battles that were once waged in places like Tours and Normandy, how much more true is it for a battle that once took place in heaven? On this festival of St. Michael and All Angels, we're going to take a little closer look at a battle that serves as a turning point in history. A battle that many people are oblivious of, but a battle which still impacts every human being to this day. Today we're going to take a little closer look at Revelation chapter 12. Where St. John introduces that battle with these simple words: there was a war in heaven. Today we're going to focus first on the combatants in that war, and then the timing of that war, and finally the impact that that war has on our lives today. First, combatants. Every war has got two sides, right? John speaks about the antagonists in this war when he writes, "There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back." So that's easy enough. Two sides, Michael and his angels versus the dragon and his angels. Okay. But who's Michael? Again, we need to let Scripture interpret Scripture here. Elsewhere in Scripture, in the book of Daniel, for example, Michael is described as one of the chief princes. In the book of Jude, we hear that Michael was an archangel. In the Bible, only two angels are named, Gabriel and Michael. And it's Michael who leads this battle with his angels against the angels of the dragon. Which is who? John tells us. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he, namely the dragon, was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. According to John, that dragon was Satan. which he refers to as what? That ancient serpent, right? That's a reference to the fact that Satan once used the form of a serpent to tempt our first parents in the Garden of Eden. So that's the who of this battle. The next question is, when? When did this battle take place? When was the devil hurled down? When did he lose his place in heaven? If you're like me, my first thought goes back to the very beginning, right? Right after creation, when Satan, a good angel, rebelled against God and was thrown out of heaven. St. Peter describes that event when he writes, God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. The question is that event that Peter talks about the same event that John is describing here in Revelation? Probably not. Why do I say that? Well, again, we need to let Scripture interpret Scripture. Notice that John goes on to talk about this war. He talks about how they are thrown out of heaven. And really the word there is heavens, probably better translated the skies, this war in the skies. After that war, then John hears this voice in heaven. And the voice says, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God night and day, has been hurled down. Again, the question is, okay, at what point in history did all that happen? When did God's salvation come to this world? When was his power shown? When did he crush the serpent's head? Or maybe more specifically, when was Satan no longer able to accuse God's people? When could Satan no longer stand in God's courtroom, point to you and me and say, these are sinners, these people belong in hell with me? When could Satan no longer say that? When God the Father accepted his son's payment for all of our sins on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus said, it is finished, God could say to Satan, and so are you, buddy. You can't accuse my people anymore. You've got nothing on them because I've forgiven all their sins. So get out of my face. That's when Satan lost the war. That's when he was hurled out of God's presence. As John puts it, the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil. You know, if you think about that statement, doesn't it kind of remind you of our gospel lesson today? When the apostles come back all pumped up about the fact that demons submitted to the name of Jesus, what did Jesus say? I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Jesus is connecting what these apostles are experiencing with what he's about to do to Satan on the cross of Calvary. In fact, you think about what Jesus said in the days leading up to his death. He tells his disciples, now is the time for judgment in the world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. In the original language, that word driven out is translated here in our text as hurled down. These are the same events. When Jesus, by his perfect life, his innocent death, and his glorious resurrection, was victorious over Satan once and for all. And because he was victorious, so are all those who put their trust in him. Because Jesus was victorious, because he overcame Satan, so have all believers. In fact, that's what John means when he says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. Think about that. Believers overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. That's just more testimony that this event took place not at the time of creation, but at the time of the world's redemption. You and I are set free from Satan, not by the power of God, but by the blood of God spilled in love on the cross of Calvary. That's what John means when he says, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, purifies us from every sin. And friends, you realize that's the reason that Satan lost the war. Because you've been purified from every sin. Satan's got nothing on you. You've been set free. Because Jesus has paid for your sins. You might say, that is the ongoing, the lasting effect, the impact that war waged so many years ago has on your life. It means your heart can be at rest, at peace, because you know you're all right with God because of what Jesus did for you so many years ago. And yet I have to tell you that although that war had a tremendous positive impact on your life, there's also a flip side to the coin in terms of the impact on our world. John talks about that in our text. He says that because Satan was hurled down to this earth, therefore, woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He's filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. You realize what that means? It means that Satan is now a desperate criminal. Like the deranged gunman who's holed up in some hotel room in Las Vegas, knowing that the authorities are closing in on him, what does he do? He uses every spare minute to wreak as much havoc as he can, bring as much fear and pain and death as possible while he still has time and ammunition. So with our enemy, the devil, he knows his fate is sealed. He knows he's headed to the lake of burning sulfur. And so he's going to do everything in his power to wreak as much havoc and pain and death in this world as he can while he has time. You've seen it, haven't you? You know people who are hurting emotionally and physically. You know people who are enduring addictions, people who are suffering the loss of a loved one, whether it's by death or divorce, people who are afraid, don't know what the future holds, and they're thinking, why is this happening? In fact, maybe it's not just the people out there who sometimes have those thoughts. Maybe you and I say, why? Why does my life have to be so hard? Why is this happening? God, where are you when I need you? It feels like you're not there for me. You realize God answers all those questions right here in our text. Why do people experience such pain in their lives? Because Satan is filled with fury. Satan is an angry spirit. He hates you. He hates your God, and therefore he wants to do everything in his power to separate you from that God who loves you. And if that means bringing pain and death and sickness into your life to help separate you from God, that's exactly what he's going to do. Because that's who Satan is. He's your enemy. Satan wants to bring pain into your life. He's like the ultimate sore loser. He knows he's going to suffer, and so he's going to bring everybody possible with him. But here's the thing. That battle that Satan is waging to separate you from God, he's already lost, because nothing can separate you from the God who loves you. Nothing. Isn't that what St. Paul once wrote? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, all those things that Satan's going to try to throw at us? No. In all these things, we are still more than conquerors through him who loved us. Which is what allows Paul to draw this conclusion. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My friends, you realize that's the impact that war waged so many years ago still has on your life today. Nothing can separate you from God. Is Satan going to still try to bring some pain with his last dying sword thrust? Yes. But he can't hurt you forever. He's already lost. Jesus has won the victory. He's made you his own. And now he promises to walk with you every step of the way. You realize what that means? It means that when your final breath comes, those same angels that once fought for you against the forces of evil in the skies over Jerusalem, those same angels that God commands to guard you in all your ways, those same angels are going to take your soul and carry it to your Father in heaven, where you're going to join a victorious celebration forever and ever. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding.